I want to go back just here briefly and look in John's Gospel again, 14, the chapter that I read, or the portion of Scripture that I read earlier. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, if you have your Bible open there, you see, and you probably know from reading it so often, that somebody pipes up and asks the question. We know him as Thomas. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he talks about the Comforter coming on down the way a little bit. He speaks about the Comforter. He talks about our love for him and how it can be expressed, how it will be revealed. He's not going to leave us comfortless. He will send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 27, he said, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's saying that again. Don't be afraid. For just a very little while this morning, do you and I realize, do we really realize, are we living like we realize that Jesus is coming back? Are we living like we realize that tomorrow may not dawn the way we are used to tomorrow's dawning? That it could be that tomorrow, and there will be a tomorrow where we wake up and we are facing eternity the way we think of as eternity. Now, if you weren't here last week, and there was a lot of people absent because of vacation time, travel time, and if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to go to the church website and listen so I don't have to re-preach those messages again very soon. But again, I feel it weighing on my heart to mention and to talk about, to point us in the direction that the enemy will do everything and is doing everything that he can to discourage and defeat and to kill the spiritual life within us. Now, he doesn't have to do things to take out all semblance of our Christianity or of our religion as such. He's fine with us being religious. Gets us to thinking that the toil of life is too great. The trial of life is too big. The battles of the Christian walk are too intense. The brokenness of the past is too great to overcome for the present. where we find in Scripture in repeated stories and in repeated instances where Jesus always has been able to take the brokennesses of the past and restore them, or at least redeem them for His glory. Always. Never leaving somebody to straggle from behind and eventually fall away because he didn't have the grace or he didn't have the care for them. So much so that the woman that was so desperate for help, that spent everything that she had to find help from every other means and measure, finally slipped through the crowd only to touch the hem of his garment while he was being pressed on every side. And he knew that there was a different touch in her touch. And all of the brokenness he mended and redeemed for his glory. I know there's hurts. I know there's pain. And I know that sometimes families, we don't see it on the outside, but there's families that are in special need of divine intervention. I want to encourage you this morning, if you're in any of those categories, or even a category that I'm not mentioning, but there's a struggle going on within your heart, within your life, within your family, I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus, right here as we look at in this passage, Jesus wants to help your need and meet your need. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is he doing? He's telling us that what he has is what we need. If we but avail ourselves of the provisions of his grace in any capacity and in any situation. Oh, I'm glad this morning that we can rejoice, and I have rejoiced. Thinking about these songs that we sang. When the roll is called up yonder, there is not a single thing in this life worth having our name not on that roll. Nothing. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Not just a cliche, not just something to sing that stirs our heart from time to time, but it's a reality. It's a reality. Are you living in such a way that your life shows that you believe that Jesus is coming back? Either coming back to take his church out of this world or coming back to take you out of this world when he sees fit. Are you living that way? Do you still believe that way? Sometimes when we experience problems and experience difficulties and experience the trouble that is upon us or that we face and the battles that we go through, sometimes it just could be that it's the Holy Spirit trying to get into our thinking to draw us to Him rather than us simply say, oh, the devil's fighting me. Well, I really believe that the devil fights us a lot, but sometimes the God, the Holy Ghost, allows things to come to our way to get our attention because we're not going the right direction. Little indicators, little things here and there that we slide up on or slip up on or we try to erase out of our lives, but we're creating a problem and there's consequences for us drifting away, even if it's in small incremental ways. There's consequences for it. Jesus wants to give us hope, and He does give us hope. He's full of hope. He's full of peace. He doesn't want us to have troubled hearts, troubled lives. A Baptist preacher that I heard a long time ago, a number of years ago, and I've probably shared it before, he said, we need to be living like we're leaving. We need to be living like we're leaving. Are you ready to meet Him? Because it could be. And it will be before we know it. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, the Amplified said. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place so that when I come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be also. Are you ready for that day? I said I was going to be brief. Let me just stop there. There's no sense in us carrying beyond. Hopefully I've said what I felt like the Holy Spirit would have us to say this morning. Let's stand together. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, before we go, maybe somebody needs to pray, somebody wants to pray. Maybe the little and simple things of this service has spoken to your heart and your heart is heavy because of the burdens and even conviction. The altar's here and it's open. Would you want to come and pray this morning? You're welcome to. Be happy to pray with you. Our Father, thank You for Your divine presence this morning. And even as I believe that you have been faithful yesterday, I believe that you're being faithful today. Pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to go with us as we go from this place. Go to our homes, go to our rooms, travel with us in our automobiles. Help us to rejoice in you. Help us to be able to rejoice in you. Touch our brokenness. Mend our brokenness. Heal our hurts. Put back and mend those divisions that have happened. Oh God, we need you today. Because it'll be worth it all when we see you. I pray that you would defeat the enemy, the one that would try to drive wedges, to cause us to cool off, to shift away. That you defeat his purposes. Help us to feel your presence and the convicting power of that presence. Go with us, I pray, from this service. It's in Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.